Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Why don't you join me as I speak to Jesuit Father David Birchall, who's the director of St. Bino's Ignatian Spirituality Centre, located in a stunning spot overlooking Snowdonia in the heart of Wales. You're a Jesuit and you're director of an Ignatian Spirituality Centre in a place of sheer natural beauty, right?
It is, yes. It's in the valley of the Elwy, the Clwyd, and on the hillside overlooking Snowdonia.
Now, clearly you have the Ignatian imprint as a spirituality centre. Would you say that's the hallmark of your retreat house?
Yes, we're sort of set up here principally to do the exercises in various forms, and usually we do that nowadays in the form of an individually guided retreat, so people come along to the retreat centre and spend anything from a weekend to the full spiritual exercises, which takes 30 days to do as a whole. Ignatius wrote the exercises back in Spain, really, and they were first published in the 1540s. They're a combination, really, a sort of a looking at the life of Christ for the individual taken from Scripture, doing meditations. I mean, Ignatian contemplation, imaginative contemplation, is quite well known as a method of prayer, which is taking Scripture and putting yourself in the picture and just letting it develop. There's an element of that, and then there's an element also of looking at one's own life and where we're going with it, how we are responding to the call of God in life.
I read on your website that you speak about there being no room at the inn. One doesn't think of today's society as searching, in a sense, in an increasingly secular world. Why do you think you're so popular?
Well, there's immediate popularity this year because at the end of last year, the BBC in Britain put on a television programme, a short three-part serial called The Big Silence, and that showed five retreatants at our house having an individually guided retreat, and that has caused quite an influx of people. As you say, people who are not necessarily religious in the sense that they probably don't go to church, a lot of them, but they have a sort of sense of spirituality and wanting to sort of deepen that and look a little bit more at that. And so particularly the short retreats we've found are full this year. The longer courses, not so much, but the short courses, yes.
Before we get to the short courses, which are quite originally, I won't give too much away just yet, is there a typology of people who come to you? I mean, you say they're not necessarily practicing Catholics, but you have other people as well from other religions.
Yes, on the individually guided retreats, very often, certainly the shorter ones, we tend to find that something like half the people who come are probably Catholics. The other half are made up of other denominations and no denominations. A lot of Anglicans, but you know, I'm just looking at a retreat that today I was sorting one out, and there's Quakers, and there's people who just call themselves Christian, and there's we've had Buddhists, and we've had all sorts coming in over the last month or two.
Why do you think they come in? To find out more about Catholic Church, or because it's a particular place of spirituality? Is there a reason, do you think?
Very few of them, I think, want to know more about the Catholic Church, particularly specifically. That doesn't sort of motivate them to come, I don't think. They really want to have the space and the time to look at what's important in their lives. That's why one of the things that the program pushed was the silence. And a lot of people resonate with that they want a period of quiet away from the computers and the televisions and the radios and things, just a period so that they can look at their own life, reflect on what's really important in their own life. And some of them do want to sort of make contact again with a church that they've left, but in a way that doesn't sort of drag them in necessarily to sort of going to church every Sunday.
Now, getting to the actual themed retreats we mentioned a moment ago, a must in one of them seems to bring with you a book of poetry. Tell me about this Gerald Manley Hopkins connection.
Well, Gerald Manley Hopkins, a very popular sort of Victorian poet,
was a Jesuit.
Was a Jesuit and did his theology This was a theological college, St. Bino's, in those days, and he did 3 years theology here in St. Bino's. And I mean, the story is fairly well known that when he entered the Jesuits, he sort of burnt a lot of his poetry and gave up poetry. When he came here, the superior here suggested that he might like to write something about a recent tragedy, which was the wreck of a ship called the Deutschland. I think that was 1875. And he then wrote that, and that sort of opened the floodgates again. And he wrote a lot of his best poems, God's Grandeur, The Valley of the Elwy, The Sea and the Skylark, and The Windhofer here in St. Bino's.
Beyond Gerald Manley Hopkins, you're very imaginative in the themes of your retreats. Among the current ones, I read Consider the Lilies, Praying the Labyrinth, and The Food Retreat.
Yes, they're all very different retreats. The lilies are looking at the garden and God's creation. The labyrinth has proved popular. We've had a labyrinth put out in the ground based on the Chartres Cathedral's labyrinth. And people find that very helpful. I think it helps them to sort of slow down. And they also see their own life in the twists and turns of a labyrinth, which is always going to the center, which is God. But at the same time, everybody's life, I think, has its twists and turns. And I think that sort of resonates with people as they're doing it. The food, it's looking again at the importance of food in the sort of spiritual life, both things like the Last Supper, of course, but also that sort of sense of taking on board what we eat being important in our lives. These are things that we do as well as to sort of attract people who might not be looking for an individually guided retreat, but people do seem to like to have somebody else just to sort of bounce their spirit and bounce things off as we do have on an individually guided retreat.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself as director of Spirituality Centre? Is it a difficult job to have, or it's not just a job, it's a vocation, isn't it?
Location or vocation, I'm not certain. It's one of those jobs where you do have, I mean, I always try and keep a certain degree of work, contact in the work, so I give retreats fairly regularly in the centre, as well as doing the administrative work of keeping a place which has 20-odd employees on the domestic staff, as well as sort of about a dozen retreat givers paid to work here, plus lots of visitors. So there's quite a lot of administration to be done, and at the moment I'm sort of working out the program for 2012. But I enjoy the mixture, really, and it's always a challenge to try and make a place like this, if not pay our way, at least sort of not demand too much of a subsidy from our central offices.
You meet a lot of people, don't you?
We do. There's thousands come through the doors in a year, literally a couple of thousand. So we meet an awful lot. And one of the things that's good about directing retreats, I find, is that you get to know people very quickly, very deeply. You know, they open up. So it's not just a superficial conversations, but you're sort of into deep human stories, as I say, very quickly in a retreat. So it's quite a privileged position that way. The number of people who go away feeling so much sort of lighter, or to give them the confidence in their own life, to see where God is acting in their own life and has been acting, something that's sort of repeated again and again as retreatants go away. And also, one of the things about the job is that you can't control it as a retreat giver. You're never in control of what goes on. It's always that the people, you may suggest a scripture passage, you may suggest a way of praying to somebody, then off they go to do it. And you never quite know what the Holy Spirit's going to get up to. So you can't plan one day for the next. You've just got to wait and see where the Spirit has been. Thank God the Spirit works quite regularly. One of the things we've been doing at St. Bino's for about sort of 30 years now are running courses, sabbatical courses for religious and priests. And we've also been doing how to give retreats, so in their courses of 10 weeks. And we're finding that more and more people are coming from sort of Africa and Asia, and Australia particularly, for these courses. It's great to have this international sort of feel to the place. We're having people coming on the 30-day retreats from all over the world, but particularly the longer courses, the 3-month courses, the 10-week courses, really do sort of give us an international feel to the centre.
You were listening there to the director of St. Bino's Ignatian Spirituality Centre, Jesuit Father David Birchall. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.